Good morning. Good morning. Will you all please join me and stand for the reading of God's Word? We'll be reading from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 42 through 45. Mark 10, verses 42 through 45. Jesus is talking here, calling them to himself. Jesus said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And he gave his life as a ransom for many." Let's pray together. Father, it really is nothing short of a pleasure and a real privilege to be here with you today, with each other today, just as a large family. Father, I again thank you for preserving this little church. I thank you when I even think of that. I thank you for preserving the lives and the testimonies of the people within this church. This passage is an easy one to say, and it's a hard one to do. The whole idea of our trusting you to not take it upon ourselves to put up for ourselves or to have other people pay proper respect to us. It just goes against our grain as human beings. It certainly goes against the grain of what we're inclined to do in this culture. It is not a natural thing for us to serve other people. And so, Father, I just pray that you would speak to us as your word is open today. Talk to us where we really need to hear this message. I am so grateful that as your children, you have invested within us your very spirit that will help us and reinforce us and strengthen us to do this thing today about being a servant to others, which is so unnatural for us to do. You give us the strength to follow through with what we say we want to do, and I thank you for that. I also thank you for the fact that in following our Lord's example of being a servant and giving up your life for others, in following his example, it's not just something we read on a page this morning. As Steve just mentioned, there are so many people in this church that live out the example of laying down their lives for the people they love and for acting and being and living as servants to the other people in this church. So I thank you for that example. Father, lastly, I lift up to you what may be many, many people in our family, many other men and women and boys and girls who know you as their child and are in such a great state of suffering right now in Chile. I pray, Father, for our brothers and sisters there. And I pray also for the very large amount of people who have been dealing with grief because of lost loved ones, or their lives literally have been turned upside down because of this earthquake. Father, we ask for quick and speedy help for these people. And I especially lift up those that are part of our household of faith, that you would strengthen and protect them as they reach out and act as servants themselves in a situation that is so difficult, it's hard for us to even understand. Again, Father, thank you for this morning together. We thank you properly in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Matt. Kids are dismissed to Junior Church. I was asked to sneak in one more announcement. Softball starts up this week, Thursday. The game is at 7:30 down at the ball fields at the River Bottoms. So if you're on the team or want to be, see Doug Price, try to get there about 7 o'clock to get all signed in and everything. But the game is, and there's Doug waving his hand. Yes. We see that hand. 7:30, Thursday. You all know the phrase, it's better to give than to receive. Well, for a lot of people in our culture, it's also easier to give than to receive. We may be a very self-absorbed society, but it is still easier for the average person to give than to receive. People may not give much, and they may oftentimes give grudgingly, but they have even more difficulty receiving. Because, see, we've been told that we should be self-sufficient. We should solve our own problems, rely on no one, be dependent on no one, need help from no one. And so we hide behind the facade of having it all together, of being masters of our own destiny, captains of our own ship. We have it all under control, everything's fine, when all the while we're masking pain and hurt and struggle. Boy, Steve, what's the deal with starting off with such, you know, heavy stuff? Don't you usually start off with a cute story or a joke or something? And man, right out of the gate, he's stuff about pain and suffering and hiding behind a mask. Well, something God really wants us to learn, I believe, is that we can be honest and vulnerable with each other here in the body of Christ. This is a safe place to share what's really going on in your life and to know that people genuinely care. And furthermore, they want to help. And they will help as much as they are able to meet that need. But sharing with others that we have a need is not an easy thing to do. We'd rather be need meeters than be the need havers. We'd rather help someone than have to be helped. Something to do with human pride, I suppose. Anyway, wanting to put on a show as being self-sufficient, we don't do very well at letting others know that we're struggling. But the scriptures we're going to talk about this morning deal with servanthood. Serving one another in the name of Christ. And that's a very hard thing to do if nobody has any needs that they're willing to share, that they're willing to be honest about. It's very hard to serve one another if no one's willing to swallow their pride and allow themselves to be served by their brothers and sisters in Christ. So as you listen to this message, think about the two sides of this coin, the ways God would lead you to serve others, and perhaps the ways God might have others be of service to you. As we've seen so far in our study on fellowship, the heart of fellowship is love. We love one another. We build up one another. We encourage one another. We are to be devoted to one another in brotherly love. The embrace or the arms of fellowship is unity. You belong with me. We are together, united. We accept one another. We're to be of the same mind with one another. We submit to one another. We bear with one another and we forgive each other. Unity. The hands and the feet of fellowship is service. This is where biblical fellowship goes to work, where biblical fellowship gets its hands dirty, gets involved. Now, before we dig into the one another's that deal with this area of service, we'll look at three of them today and two of them next week. I want us to take a look, take a moment and build a scriptural foundation for being a servant. And the natural place to begin with that is the example of Jesus, the life and testimony of our Savior. I had us just read Mark 10, verses 42 to 45, just to remind us again. It says, calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. That last verse in that passage is kind of a mission statement for Christ's earthly ministry. He came to serve. And the highest pinnacle of his service to us was in purchasing our redemption. He could have demanded that all humanity serve him. He could have demanded that all humanity bow to him. But he didn't. He came to serve us. And it cost him greatly. But Jesus not only demonstrated servanthood in his ministry, he also commanded servanthood from his followers. He said, whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. So being a servant isn't an option. It's something that God calls each of us to. For many people nowadays, the only Jesus that they will learn about is the Jesus that they see in you. And you give honor to him in a beautiful way. You bring glory to his name as you serve. Jesus demonstrated servanthood. He commanded servanthood. And third, we read that in Galatians 6, 9, and 10 that we're to keep doing good and not to lose heart. And that as we do that, there is a reward waiting for us. The passage says, and let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Even though we're commanded to serve, it doesn't mean that that's going to always be easy. Sometimes it can be very discouraging, very disheartening. But the Word of God challenges us to not give up, to keep going, to persevere. And God will see to it that one day we will reap from our labors, from our work. That means that as you toil in the field of service, God will bring about results in people's lives. There will be growth. There will be a harvest. God promises that your service is not in vain. So do not lose heart in doing good. In due time, you will reap. Jesus demonstrated it. Jesus commanded it. He reminded us that we're to persevere and not lose heart, but to keep on serving, to not give up. Well, let's turn our attention now to three of the one another's that deal with the hands and feet of fellowship, this area of service. The first one is found in Romans 16, verse 16. It's the command to greet one another. All throughout that chapter in Romans 16, Paul's been greeting one person after another. He just goes down a list of people that he had come across or had met in various other travels and places he's visited, or he's heard about these people there in Rome. He says, greet Prisca and Aquila, greet Mary, greet Junia, greet Herodian, greet Rufus, and on it goes down this list. And then all the way down in verse 16, Paul says, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. We think that part about the holy kiss is cultural, but do as you feel led. We are to greet one another. And this seems simple to us. It seems easy enough, but the command is talking about much more than cultural politeness, casual politeness. It's talking about the genuine, sincere, heartfelt giving and receiving of one another in the Lord. You ever walk into a place where no one noticed, no one seemed to care, and no one was willing to give you the time of day? It's a very uncomfortable feeling. You'd think that that bank or that copy center or that restaurant or whatever kind of business you were in was there to serve you. You're the customer. But once in a while, you walk into a business where you simply feel ignored, unwelcomed even. That should never happen in a church, though you probably could think of a church or two where that was your experience. No one greeted you. No one welcomed you. No one introduced themselves. No one directed you to a Sunday school class. No one showed you where this or that was in the church. No one seemed to notice that you were even there. No one seemed to care that you had come to worship with them. That's not how believers in the body of Christ are to serve one another. We greet each other, genuinely, sincerely welcoming and receiving each other in the Lord. And when we do that, when we welcome each other and receive each other with the kind of spirit that Jesus tells us to do that with, what a difference that can make in a person's day. What a difference that can make in their life. I've shared this story before, but at Garfield High School in California, a brand new teacher had two students named Johnny in his class. One was a good kid and an outstanding student. The other Johnny spent most of his time goofing off and being a nuisance. He contributed nothing to the class. In fact, was a distraction to the other students. When the PTA held its first meeting of that year, a mother came up to this teacher and said, how's my son Johnny doing? Well, the teacher assumed that she was the mom of the better student, that student's mom would be at the PTA. And he said, I can't tell you how much I enjoy him. It's such a pleasure to have him in my class. The next day, the problem child came to the teacher and said, my mom told me what you said about me last night. I've never had a teacher who wanted me in his class. That day he completed his assignment. The next morning he brought in his finished homework. Within a few weeks, the problem Johnny had become one of the teacher's hardest working students and one of his best friends. This misbehaving child's life was turned around all because he was mistakenly identified as a good student. And there's a principle there just to apply in life. It's better to make a person stretch to reach your high opinions than stoop to match your disrespect. So choose well how you greet someone. Choose well what opinions you have of them. Choose well with what spirit you welcome and receive them. You can make an enormous difference in their life. Greet one another. Second, honor one another. Romans 12:10 says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor." To give preference to someone in honor means to make them feel special, to appreciate them, to tell them or show them how much they mean to you. You honor them. You probably have watched some of the Winter Olympics the past couple of weeks, and even if you don't like sports, just seeing all the beautiful scenery around the area of Vancouver is just amazing. The Winter Olympics have events that are mostly individual events. A person trains and trains and all that, and then they compete against everybody else in their sport from nations all around the globe. There's downhill skiing, there's cross-country skiing, figure skating, the luge, ski jumping, moguls, there's aerials, snowboarding, all individual events. And then there are some team events as well. Not as many, but there's the bobsled, there's hockey, of course, a game this afternoon. Some of the team speed skating events are team events, certainly, and others. All these athletes work hard and they try to do their best so that they can honor their families and honor their country. More than any other sporting event, the spirit of the Olympics isn't just about individual achievement. These athletes cheer each other on. They cheer their teammates on. They want their country to excel. Even if they're involved in an individual event rather than a team event, they deeply want their fellow athletes to win for their country. And if they themselves have done poorly, they're right there cheering their fellow countrymen along. There's a lot of individual glory, certainly, at the Olympics. But really, the Olympics are a focus on team spirit and national pride, where flags are waved and national anthems are played. Honor is freely given. Parents in the stands cry for joy. Fellow teammates cheer. Their teammate, their countryman has won, and the whole nation can celebrate. Honor one another. If anyone has good cause to celebrate, it's the church. It's the church. Jesus has won. Jesus has conquered sin and death, and we are more than conquerors in him. And there are daily victories. At church, you rub shoulders with people who've overcome habitual sin and addictions. There are people here who've gone through great tragedy, great heartache and trials, and they've come through victoriously. Even just daily growth. Each other, seeing each other being conformed to the image of God's Son. That is reason to rejoice, to cheer each other on, to honor one another. But there's another way that we honor one another. Another way this command works of preferring one another in honor is to get out of the way and let the other person be the center of attention. You ever seen someone get out of the way to make somebody else look good? That's part of what this is talking about, where your mission is to honor somebody else. The clearest example I can think of is right over here, the person who sits right here, a piano accompanist. Here's a person who has great skill, truly gifted, and yet they spend most of their time and their energy accompanying somebody else. And you know, there is a soloist, it's the praise team, they're accompanying the choir. But they are working hard to make that individual or that group sound so good. And yet they never take personal credit. They just like to make the other person do their best and excel and look good. That's giving preference to another person in honor. It's an act of humility. To honor one another means we don't seek glory for ourselves. We're not trying to always be the focus, to always be in the spotlight. We give credit where credit is due. We look for ways to make somebody else really shine. You know, this is a quality that seems to be dying. Giving honor isn't something that we see happening in our culture much anymore. People don't respect and honor one another. Whether it's adults who are looking out for number one and doing whatever they can to get on top and stay on top, or children who oftentimes have no respect for their elders or sometimes even their own parents. Our culture is losing this beautiful character quality very rapidly. But this is something the follower of Jesus should trust God to build into his or her life. It's a beautiful quality of a transformed life and a servant's heart. Honor one another. A third quality I'll mention this morning of a servant, of the arms and feet of fellowship, is bearing one another's burdens. Bearing one another's burdens. Galatians 6 verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." Now, in the immediate context of that verse, this is actually talking about helping one another deal with sin. The previous verse, verse 1, says, "Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." And we're going to look at that application of this verse, helping each other overcome sin, confronting sin where needed. We'll look at the command to admonish one another next week. That's a fun one, isn't it? Admonish one another. So no skipping church next week. Got to be here. But the command to bear one another's burdens has another application. It means to support one another in tough times, to pray for one another, to carry each other's concerns to the Lord, to empathize with one another. And more specifically, it means to join someone in carrying some of the load that they are under. Don't stand back at a safe distance. Don't just watch while others struggle. Get involved. Bear the burden with them. Well, how do you do that? How do you bear one another's burdens? Well, it's important to recognize that people carrying a heavy burden have both tangible and intangible needs. The intangible needs are more on the emotional level. They're hurting. They're afraid. They're unsure. They're vulnerable, weighed down by the burden. They need you to come alongside them and show genuine care, warmth, empathy. They need you to feel with them in the midst of their hurts. They need you to listen. They just need you close. Your very presence is comforting, reassuring. But they also have tangible needs. They need actual help, a problem that needs solved, a need that needs met, a task that needs finished. Something is a burden to them, and God calls us to help them bear it. Sound challenging? Sound costly? Sound involved, difficult, requiring time and effort that you're not sure you can spare? Well, it is challenging. It is costly. But in so doing, this verse tells us that we fulfill the law of Christ. And what is that? Well, in John 13, verse 34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, a new law." This is the law of Christ. "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another even as I have loved you." Paul writes in Galatians 5, 14, "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Bearing one another's burdens is right at the heart of what God is all about, of what he calls his people to be all about as followers of Christ. The law of Christ is love. And you help fulfill that law when you bear one another's burdens. The Christian life is not an easy road. And we're not meant to travel it alone. We need each other. There are burdens along the way. And we need to come alongside each other and help bear those burdens. I've got some burdens. I need your help. You have some burdens. You need my help. and one another's help. We need each other. That's what life in the body of Christ should be like. God calls those in His family to so intertwine their lives that one member with one another, that no part of the body hurts without the other members of the body knowing it and hurting with them, and then joining together to minister to that hurt and responding to whatever the need might be. Is your life so intertwined where the hurt over here is felt by the hurt over here and ministered to by this person to help bear the burden for this person? Now, we normally think that this involves sharing in some difficulty, some struggle or trial or trouble that somebody's going through. And that's often the case, but not always the case. Sometimes it applies even to very happy occasions. For instance, some years ago, there arose a need to have a wedding here at CBC. In fact, it was Mamie's daughter, Cynthia. At the time, Cynthia was heavily involved in missionary work, and she was also trying to finish up school. It was a very busy time in her life. And then she and Will got engaged, and they really needed help putting on a wedding in short notice. And it was a greater burden than Cynthia could bear at that time in her life. Mamie, of course, was highly involved, but a lot of the ladies in the church came together and pitched in. They made floral decorations for the aisles and up here on the stage. They decorated the fellowship hall. They brought finger foods and special treats to the reception. They used their fancy serving dishes and punch bowls. They came early and stayed late and made it a very special occasion. The body of Christ came together and put on a beautiful wedding and reception. It's a wonderful occasion, wasn't it, Mamie? What a special celebration for a mother and a daughter and the body of Christ together. If you've ever planned and put on a wedding, that you know this is a huge undertaking. The details and preparation can be overwhelming. And for Cynthia, she needed her brothers and sisters in Christ. Mostly her sisters in Christ. Guys and wedding prep are sort of an oxymoron. What do you mean that chips and salsa are not an appropriate appetizer and hors d'oeuvre at a wedding? I don't get it. So the ladies came together, responding to the need of the moment, and a very joyous wedding celebration took place. And because the family of God pitched in and served, bearing the burden was light. A labor of love. We serve, we become the hands and feet of fellowship as we greet one another with genuine warmth, receiving each other in the Lord. As we give preference to one another in honor. And as we bear one another's burdens together. It's a beautiful ministry to one another in the body of Christ. Just as Jesus modeled and demonstrated in His ministry, just as He has commanded His followers to imitate. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. Let's pray. Father, even though it goes against human nature, you'd think this would be an easy one for us because we see this so clearly in Jesus, the one who came to serve. And it would just seem to be so natural as His followers to follow that example, to serve. But we struggle with it. I struggle with it. We see a need. We hear of a burden. And it's easy to just cross the street and walk on the other side, not get involved, not get our hands dirty. Father, teach us to have a servant's heart. How would my life be different, Father, if you fully accomplished building a servant's heart in me? Father, for each of us sitting here this morning, may we each wrestle with that question. How would my life be different if I let you fully develop a servant's heart in me? And if we did that, Father, what would a church like that look like? Could you imagine? Father, there are so many here who serve wonderfully. They just really serve wonderfully. But your word would tell us to excel still more, to follow the example of Jesus, who could have come to be served, but did not. He came to serve, to give his life, a ransom for many. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Stand together. Amazing grace. You're dismissed. Have a great week.